morning, comrades. It's time for Freedom Frenzy. I think it's time for Freedom Frenzy. I'm going to have to speak a little bit louder if I'm going to get over the music this morning. Well, good morning to you guys. My name's Jerry DeMars. My co-host is Jenny Hodges. I think she's out there somewhere, aren't you, dear?
Morning, Peaches.
Hi, Jerry. We're going to have Greg this morning. I'm so excited. And we can get everybody's ire up talking about the enemy number one in America to life and liberty, police brutality. The thugs in government-issued costume are alive and well, and I'm sure will shed greater light on this reality. Although, frankly, Jerry, it's disconcerting how much you don't have to search for police brutality stories, because they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't know that I can go with you on that being problemo number one-o. I don't think that's numero uno.
I think in terms of the average citizen and how often they run into the law, it's the thugs that deliver arrest citations, traffic citations. The IRS has to use local thugs, you know, so on and so forth. That's kind of what I mean. Of course, I would say enemy number one is the counterfeit currency. Because if these people didn't get a paycheck, I have a feeling they might go home.
Yeah, or, you know, hang out at the bar or something and do something favorable.
At Krispy Kreme.
No, they're doing that already.
Yeah, that's true.
That and Dunkin' Donuts. You know, that's the old saw anyway. That's where all the cops are. You know, and they have always have a big funeral procession when the donut store burns down.
Well, thank the Lord. I wish they had more of those, because then they would be off the streets intimidating the peaceful citizenry.
Wow. So we're gonna trash the cops and everybody else today. Is that where we're going to go?
Not everybody else. I'll tell you, though, when I'm in Austin, the police are really obnoxious half the time. And John and I passed by one cop who had stopped his car in the middle of traffic in a lane and put his door wide open to keep anybody from using the lane next to him.
Mm-hmm.
While he just messed around on his computer, and the look on his face, the militant, arrogant, cocky look on his face, he looked like a Marine with the most serious attitude, and we were all suspects. It was totally obnoxious, and I don't know. I'm over it. When I go to, I guess because of my citation and the way that this cop has totally aggressively attacked my life and liberty on false trumped up charges, and I'm just an average housewife in Austin. I mean, it's ridiculous. These people are over the top. But if you go spend any amount of time on Will Greig's site, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, it will really get your ire up, Jerry. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I guess one of the things that we probably ought to point out, if we're going to go there today, is if you're in a situation to where it looks as though you're going to be browbeaten by a couple of cops, and I guess that would be the operative number two or more, that you got to pick your spots insofar as the places that you're going to attempt to thwart tyranny. Otherwise, you might become the subject of it physically. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. You can't argue with them. You just have to sit there and say, thank you, sir. May I have another? And our producer, he told me that I had it wrong. Police brutality is not everywhere, only where the cops are. I stand corrected, Manny. Yeah, so anyway, it's going to be a fun interview. Will is very eloquent. He'll be joining us at about, 10:27, 10:30. We've already chit-chatted briefly via typing, anyway, this morning. So it's gonna be really fun.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to that. What else we got on the plate today?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a hilarious interview Obama had with a Texan journalist, which I thought was great. We'll be right back. This is Freedom Frenzy.
Don't answer it. If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Let's do hit and run news. Yesterday, the governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, vetoed a bill that would have required President Barack Obama and other presidential candidates to prove their natural-born status before their names could be put on state ballot. Now, the interesting thing, I read several different coverages of this very same story, and the idiots that wrote all the articles, including the one that I'm drawing from right now, all had it put up that it was all about proving United States citizenship. And that's not what this discussion is about. It's about natural born status in compliance with what it says in the Constitution. The bill there in Arizona would have made it the very first state to pass such a requirement. Opponents had warned that the bill would give another black eye to Arizona after last year's controversy over the state's illegal immigration enforcement law. Brewer said in her veto letter that she was troubled that the bill empowered Arizona's Secretary of State to judge the qualifications of all candidates when they run for office.
Now, isn't that the job?
That's their job. Yes, exactly. Because and I was going to say that I was under the impression that that was one of the functions of the Secretary of State's office. And you know what's really screwed
that's
up
the
about that?
Of these bogus bills, Jerry.
This yeah, I know, but you know what's really
is bogus. Okay, go ahead.
You know what's really screwed up about this?
What?
Brewer served as Arizona's Secretary of State. She went on to say that, "I do not support designating one person as the gatekeeper to the ballot for a candidate, which could lead to arbitrary or politically motivated decisions. And, in addition, I never imagined being presented with a bill that would require candidates for president of the greatest and most powerful nation on earth to submit their early baptismal or circumcision certificates along with other records to the Arizona Secretary of State." She ended by saying, "This is a bridge too far." She also, in pretty much the same fell swoop, vetoed another bill that would have made Arizona the second state in the nation to allow an individual to carry a firearm, either concealed or not, in the public right-of-ways on higher education campuses because, as she said, it was so poorly written. Brewer said shortcomings in the bill included a failure to define what a public right-of-way is and the inclusion of state schools where federal and state laws prohibit the carrying of firearms. So she's two for two. Back to you.
Yeah, that's and here we see an example of bogus legislation that's redundant to what's already on the books that actually, when passed by the legislature, takes everyone a few steps back because now we have it left in the minds of Arizonians and the rest of the nation that it isn't automatically the Secretary of State's duty and responsibility to verify people for eligibility for running for certain offices. That's the duty of Secretary of State, directly elected by the people. So it's representational government, a good thing, rather than the arbitrary decisions of a governor, a single person deciding for everybody how it's going to go down.
And more importantly, dear, it also reveals that the people of Arizona have elected a person to both the Secretary of State's office and now the governor's office that don't know their butt from third base.
Yes, this is terrifying. And the fact of the matter is nobody is educated on law anymore. It's called code. It's shrouded in secrecy. People don't understand it. They don't study the laws. When our nation was first founded, we were the most educated people when it came to law. Every bartender had a law book. People pored over law. They wanted to understand government. They wanted to know who their representatives were, and so on and so forth. Today, people are just totally and abysmally ignorant of law, and the bureaucrats running the insane asylum are totally and abysmally ignorant of law. It's crazy where we've allowed this country to go. Well, on a happy note, Jerry, do you know what happened today in history on April 19th, 1775? I like that pregnant pause. I'll just go ahead and fill it in. British and American soldiers exchanged fire in the Massachusetts towns of Lexington and Concord. And I think the night before, the evening of April 18th, was Paul Revere's ride, calling everybody to get their weapons. It was time.
Storms, storms, the British are coming.
Exactly. Kind of exciting, Jerry.
Yes, it would have been. Don't you know that would have been some stirring moments? The blood would have been running high, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. In the pursuit of liberty.
Are going to be some shooting going on here directly.
Liberty, what was that saying? Sometimes some liberty costs something, but bullets are cheap. What was that saying, Dolly?
Well,
we were looking at liberty-minded bumper stickers because my quote-unquote new Suburban is not really new, but we had to replace the Suburban that was totaled in the car wreck we had. So the back of my Suburban is naked. There are no...
You don't even have a Ron Paul 2012 sticker on the back?
I had already put it on my former Suburban that was hauled off by the insurance company.
Yeah, but, you know, without the Ron Paul sticker on there, that vehicle's not mechanically sound.
I agree with you. John has ordered my Ron Paul.
I also ordered for one, Jerry, that says I'm already against the next war.
Did you hear that?
Yes, yes. I'm already against the next war. I like that.
That's a good one. All right, it's your turn, Jerry.
Well, taking into account 11 key measurements based on historical movements and price ratios, gold is likely to exceed $5,000. That's dollars, by the way. And silver is likely to exceed $200 sometime within the next 5 years. If silver reverts to its historical ratio of 16 to 1 with gold, then it could go even much higher. Gold has risen every year for 11 years in a row now, demonstrating a powerful bull market that began back in 2000. Since gold bull markets tend to last 15 to 18 years, investors are now wondering how much potential the precious metals have in them. Gold and silver have to move substantially higher to revert to their inflation-adjusted highs. However, further dollar devaluation could multiply that effect and result in some marvelous potential gains. Now, listen to this. 125 economists, academics, gold analysts, and market commentators have been identified who maintain that gold will likely go to a parabolic peak of at least $2,500 an ounce before the bubble finally pops. Of those 125 prognosticators, 86, yes, 86 of those puppies believe gold could reach a high of $5,000 an ounce. And 52 more of that quotient maintain that a price in excess of $5,000 is all the more likely. What does that tell you about what's going on with the paper money scheme all across the planet?
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, dear.
That drumming effect was really good.
Oh, did you like that?
Yes.
Well, I figured it needed some punch. And you know, that may be that my African drumming class is paying off.
I think it is. All right. Well, is it my turn now?
It could be. Charge ahead.
A new bill to be presented before the Nevada Senate Committee on Commerce, Labor, and Energy, well, it was presented, is even worse than the recent SB 31 bill that almost passed unamended in North Carolina. If passed, SB 412 will establish a state-sanctioned board of complementary and integrative medicines in Nevada to control and regulate all natural health care. According to the National Health Federation, which is a nonprofit health freedom organization, it is a 47-page bill, which alone should terrify everyone, which spells disaster for the natural health community because it will criminalize natural and holistic practitioners who try to operate outside what the state deems worthy of being considered legitimate medicine. Now, these kinds of bills have been around for years, quite frankly. What should trouble everyone is they're starting to get mainstream traction and they're starting to actually be passed because they usually just surface in committees and they're eventually killed along the way. So they don't make it far enough in the system. But they're beginning to make it far enough in the system, and everybody better wake up. And how these governments have money to create yet another layer of bureaucracy to see what we're doing with our health is unbeknownst to me.
Well, you know, I read a thing just this morning, dear, that we should all be suspecting that even without our little video cameras on top of our computers, that when we're sitting in front of our televisions and in front of our computers, we're still being monitored.
Yeah.
And I just, that's amazing. It just flipping amazing. And you know what they're actually measuring? It's not what we're doing and what clothes we have on and what clothes we have off. We're actually our mood and psyche, particularly as we're watching stuff on the screen, changes because that tells the manipulators how they can better manipulate us going forward. Isn't that amazing? All right. That's the end of Hit and Run News. Well, maybe the end of Hit and Run News. We're going to do something when we come back, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in your face just in a minute.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
There's evidence now that the Supreme Court is dragging its feet because they've taken no action on a request to expedite health care law review. And this is kind of a tricky situation, and here's why. Virginia Attorney General Ken Cusinelli had asked the court to fast-track consideration of the constitutionality of the law and skip the normal process of waiting until appeals courts had considered the issue. The court's docket indicated that the justices would consider the issue in their private conference this past Friday, but Monday's orders from the court did not indicate whether they had actually considered Cusinelli's request. Now, the situation is kind of special because federal judges in Virginia have already reached conflicting conclusions on the constitutionality of Obamacare. A democratically appointed judge in one part of the state said Congress was well within its scope of power to pass the sweeping overhaul of health care. But a Republican-appointed judge in yet another part of Virginia said it was unconstitutional. So we've kind of got nanny going on in the state of Virginia pertaining to the federal Obamacare. And it looks as though the Supreme Court of the United States might be ducking the issue. Back to you, dear.
I wanted to touch on this Obama interview that recently took place with a Texas journalist. And the Texas journalist was poking at USA Today, by the way, posted this story. But the Texas journalist was kind of poking at Obama repeatedly about, why do you think you're so unpopular in Texas? You lost by 11 percentage points in the 2008 presidential election, and so on and so forth. And Obama told his interview, you know, basically what you're telling me is that Texas is a conservative state, so of course I'm not going to win Texas. But then when the journalist tried to say something positive about Governor Perry balancing the state budget, what was Obama's problem? Obama fired back, irritated, and said, Governor Perry helped balance his budget with about $6 billion in federal help, which he happily took, and then started blaming the members of Congress who had offered that help. And I say, bingo, good for Obama pointing that out. I don't say good for Obama very often, but he is dead on. All of these Republican hypocrites who continue, and in Georgia, Jerry, you and I saw what they would do. They would remove state funds and instead use federal funds for certain items within the budget. And whenever you use federal dollars for anything in your state budget, you are basically giving the federal government authority in those areas in your state. You then have to comply with federal regulation, because you took the federal dollars. With shekels comes shackles. And I say, hurrah for Obama letting this idiot journalist boasting about whatever Texas is doing, pointing out, ha, you took the federal debt-based currency, so I didn't want to hear about it.
You know, dear, it would be interesting to find out how much money flows out of Texas that goes to the federal government in one form or another, what the total federal tax burden is for the state of Texas, and how that relates to monies coming back, and whether or not Texas is, you know, I think Daniel Miller, when we had him on, the he was saying that Texas was a net payer and not a net taker. And right, that it would be money ahead, but I can't remember any of the numbers that he threw out. So, Daniel, if you're listening out there, before we get our guest on today, call us and let us know what those numbers actually are. That would be interesting as a follow-on to what Jenny said, had to say just a moment ago.
I think it was $300 million a year that Texas sends in federal tax dollars.
Well, that can't be right, because that one little thing I just saw during the break said that they were getting $55.7 billion back. So it's got to be a higher number going out of Texas if what Daniel Miller said was true.
Yeah, you're right. That is interesting. We'll have to get that data. All right. Well, we're gonna have Will Grigg on. He's going to be calling in the next few minutes. Is there anything you wanted to squeeze in, Jerry?
I don't know that I've got anything squeezable. I got this little thing from Zero Hedge. A quick look at today's just-released total debt to the penny from the Treasury may crimp that artificial smile of even such a diehard administration sycophant such as Moody's. Why? Because the total debt is now at a little bit over $14.3 trillion. That's more than the debt ceiling, boys and girls, but there's a little bit more hanky-panky going on. So, and you'd wonder, why has the U.S. not filed a notice of default? It's because the actual debt that matters for legal purposes is the debt, quote-unquote, subject to the limit, which is $52 billion less than the total debt primarily due to $10 billion held at the Federal Financing Bank. I've never heard of the Federal Financing Bank, but they're supposedly they've got $10 billion of federal money there, and another $41 billion in unamortized discount, which is money yet to be paid to turn over the bills or bonds or notes that they sell to raise money. So we're only $52 billion away from the debt ceiling. Duck, we're almost there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. We have with us Sam Fig today, the author, the publisher, the political activist, and the man who runs the blog site Pro Libertate, which you can find at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Welcome to Freedom Frenzy, Will.
Jenny, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being with us, Will.
Yeah, we're really elated to get to talk about the growing arbitrary tyranny we're experiencing in America today. Just to kind of get things going, would you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, the books you've written, and all that kind of good stuff as an introduction?
Well, I appreciate that. The most important place to start is that I'm a husband and father and Christian individualist. My lovely wife, Corinne, and I have been blessed with six children. I've written five books, which means that I have to write at least another one. I've tried to keep those numbers in equipoise. I have one book for each child at least. Our oldest is 13, our youngest is 2 years, and the latter has been keeping me up the last couple of nights because when he's sick, nobody sleeps. Well, nobody would sleep if I weren't the one willing to stay up and sacrifice my sleep in order to attend to his needs. But that's, of course, what we're supposed to do. I mean, we're given children. We're supposed to give ourselves to them. You mentioned my blog, Pro Libertate. That's been up and running now for almost 5 years. And I've tried to update it between 2 and 4 times a week as my schedule permits. I mentioned that I've written 5 books. Actually, I've published 5 books. I've written a couple more, and I'm trying to get the publication arrangement straightened out for those books as well. I contribute frequently to LouRockwell.com and Lou Rockwell's website. Mr. Rockwell, of course, is the president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And the LouRockwell.com website is probably the most widely read liberty-oriented website in the known universe. And he does a lot of wonderful work in terms of exposing people to the tenets of what he now calls anarcho-capitalism, what I call individualism. And in my perspective, what that means, of course, is that nobody has a moral right to take anything. Nobody has a moral right to initiate aggression. And that optimally, in a civilized society, people would conduct their affairs on the basis of mutually beneficial commerce, that contract and consensus and agreement are a far better way of arranging the world than officially sanctioned coercion. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, we live in a world right now in which arbitrary and all-encompassing coercion carried out in the name of this abstraction called society, which actually, of course, militates against society, is the norm and is becoming more and more pronounced here in the United States. And I think that we suffer a more aggressive version of the same affliction that we've seen in a lot of other places in the world because we've really been deprived of our immunity, our ability to recognize when we're on the receiving end of unjust and arbitrary coercion, on account of the fact that from the time most of us have been old enough to have any concept of what's going on in the world, we've been indoctrinated to believe that if it is done in the name of official policy, it must be right. In other words, there's a certain positivistic indoctrination that goes on through the government school systems and through most of the churches as well, which are part of a whole infrastructure supporting a ruling elite that really doesn't recognize any limits on its power.
Well, do you then see yourself as someone that would support a completely voluntary society, or do you see a role for government of some form?
I can see a role in terms of having some kind of process for neutral arbitration of disputes having to do with person and property. In other words, if you have contracts that are involved in the arrangement of the economy and with respect to commerce, at some point if there are disputes that arise, there has to be some kind of neutral arbiter. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at the Old Testament arrangement before ancient Israel made the mistake of asking for a political government, you had judges that were established for that purpose. You didn't have a king, you didn't have a magistrate, you didn't have a type of civil government of the sort that has been the common law of mankind since that time. Out within Israel, of course, in the surrounding nations, as the record says, there were other countries that had kings and rulers. They all followed the Babylonian model in which mm-hmm. the government was supposed to be God. And the Old Testament says that they wanted to be like every other nation. They wanted to have a king to lead them into battle because that's how you aggrandize yourself, is through this exercise of mass slaughter called war. And for that reason, they ended up with a political government. But before that, they had a patriarchal order in which you had clans, you had kingdoms, or rather families rather than kingdoms. And when there were disputes that would arise between and among these various families, then you had judges that would administer the law. And to that extent, I think that type of a government is a far better arrangement than the one we have right now, where the government presumes to have some exalted and numinous nature that allows it to do things that we cannot as individuals do.
Yeah, exactly. I get very frustrated with the church's official position validating an elitist ruling class, and I feel like this faulty interpretation of Romans 13 completely contradicts the case laws of the Old Testament based on thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, where clearly the executive authority is given to each and every individual to use to the point of lethal force to secure his own life and liberty, and the requirement that he do so to secure that of his neighbors.
Exactly. And one of the books I read recently, and this is one you might have read as well, is Eric Metaxas' biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which is a very long and in-depth study of the struggles he had over trying to live a life faithfully in accordance with the Bible as he was given the wisdom to understand it, versus the efforts on the part of just about everybody else in German Christianity in the late 19th, early 20th century to turn Christianity into the praxis of nationalism, which is to say that there was no daylight between the churches and the state. And, of course, in Germany, as in a number of European countries, you had the state licensing churches and using them more or less as administrative units of the government anyway. And that's something that really found traction back in the 18th century with the Jacobinical Revolution and its descendants, and Germany was not spared that influence. But the thing is, Bonhoeffer ended up embracing what he called religionless Christianity, which is to say a relationship between the believer and God as defined by the Bible without the mediating institution of a church that would be an arm of the ruling elite. And he found himself at odds from the time he was very young. He was very precocious in this respect with everybody who practiced what they called positive Christianity. And positive Christianity just basically means government reinforcing Christianity. And boy, do we have a bad dose of that here in this country, and most people are cheerfully oblivious to it.
Oh, it's appalling, and it really disgusts me the way our churches have taken on these 501c3s, putting themselves in direct submission to the Secretary of State, to the IRS, if you will, and then making sure their church members comply with government regulation and carrying out some of the works of mercy and other works of the church. There is no cognitive embracing of the need for a separation of church and state, and that the church is answerable to God,
yeah,
not the state, on any level. And for us to put ourselves into submission to the state and then be vowing our allegiance to bodies of rulers within the church who put us in submission to the state is a huge problem.
It's perhaps the most acute problem that we face as people who aspire to be believers and faithful exponents of the gospel of Jesus Christ in contemporary America, I believe, is the fact that everywhere you go, and this, of course, is something that as a conservative-oriented evangelical Christian I've had difficulty with, everywhere you go, you'll almost always end up in the company of people who profess to be theologically conservative, but in terms of the ritual and practice of their religious services, they'll end up extolling government institutions and government personnel as if they were somehow emissaries of the divine. This is particularly true if you are ever in a congregation during Military Appreciation Sunday, where these people who are...
Oh, my goodness.
People who are hired killers for a Babylonian regime are treated as if they were somehow on a par with people who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It really is nauseating and, in a very specific sense, I believe, blasphemous.
Well, is there any single element of religiosity that you could identify as being the root cause of that which you've just described?
I think that it's all about working of the defining sin of the human condition, which is idolatry. All idolatry, and I think this is something that the book of Isaiah makes very clear, is essentially self-worship. Isaiah was inspired to write about the foolishness of people who with their hands would take of stone or wood and manufacture an idol and then prostrate themselves before the handiwork of their own hands, the creation of their own their own effort, and they would worship what they created as if their creation could somehow redeem them. And that takes on very many forms and permutations throughout history. I mean, today, for instance, one of the consistent tropes we see in science fiction is this idea of people building a supercomputer that somehow would be our savior, that we create some kind of a technological marvel that would, in some sense, save us from our own foolishness. There's a wonderful movie, and by wonderful I mean perfectly terrifying, but very prescient movie that came out in the early 70s called Colossus, the Forbin Project, that's probably the best expression of that notion, that they would create the supercomputer for the purpose of establishing world peace, and has eventually established itself as a ruler with total power over humanity to regiment humanity in order to protect us against our own violent impulses, missing the fact, of course, that the creation, that which is created cannot be superior to the creator. But often when we find ourselves in contemporary right-wing, for lack of a better way of describing them, worship services, we're invited to contemplate our own supposed magnificence as the truly exceptional nation, the messianic nation, the one that was given this errand by God to civilize and exalt and ennoble the entire world. And I don't see anything in the Bible that comports with that conceit. But it's almost inescapable.
In essence, then, our screwed-up nationalism is a manifestation of this situation.
Very much so. And it's something that is reinforced constantly in a lot of the congregations I've attended, including a few where you have one element within the congregation promoting this, not necessarily the pastor and not necessarily the deacons or those who have been called to assist them in administering to the needs of the congregation. But it's almost impossible to avoid that. And this has its roots, I think, in the late 19th century in the social gospel and how that was applied in the early 20th century in the context of the progressive movement, which Glenn Beck excoriates every week and then promotes in terms of his foreign policy. Talk about a double-minded man. He talks about the evil of Woodrow Wilson, which, of course, is manifest and obvious to anybody who reads what he did and understands the nature of the Federal Reserve and the income tax and the war socialism that were inflicted on the country during World War I.
And the first effort at world government through the League of Nations, too.
Exactly, which from Woodrow Wilson's point of view, being somebody who was a very religious man, but I don't think a believer. There's a difference. That's the Bonhoeffer distinction, if you will. He talked about...
A Presbyterian, no less.
Yeah, no less. Talk about irony.
So embarrassing.
But the thing is, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was talking about religionless Christianity in terms of not being bound. The term religion comes from religare, bind together, not being bound to these terrestrial institutions that are all outworkings of man's sinful desire to exercise dominion over others. He didn't want to be bound that way, but he wanted to be a Christian disciple. He wanted to be joined in the faith, not bound in an institution that was defined by coercion and by illicit appetites for the property and freedom of other people. But in terms of Woodrow Wilson, he had somebody who was a thoroughly religious man who was nominally a Presbyterian, nominally a believer, but in terms of his behavior, which of course is the most eloquent testimony we can offer as to what really matters to us, he was entirely devoted to the Babylonian proposition of remolding the earth according to the desire of people who supposedly had been given the right to rule over others. And unfortunately, the cultural dials were very, very well set during World War II in such a way that patriotism was defined as exalting the nation state, and exceptionalism was defined as the idea that because we are who we are, what we do is right. And if you object to that premise, then you treat it as somebody who obviously must hate the country and hate the Constitution and hate the principles that are supposed to be enshrined in that document, that are supposed to be the dictates by which policy will be carried out. And that's not the case, obviously.
Wow.
If you have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just commenting that that's where this might makes right and Pax Americana has risen from.
Yeah. Have you ever read or heard of a book entitled The War for Righteousness? And the subtitle, I think, tells the whole story. Progressive Christianity, the Great War, and the Rise of the Messianic Nation by Richard Gamble. It only came out 5 or 6 years ago. It's already out of print.
Wow. That sounds like a worthy read.
Yeah. Richard Gamble. The name is spelled just like the vice. Richard M. Gamble. The War for Righteousness, Progressive Christianity, the Great War, and the Rise of the Messianic Nation. I don't think that there's been a better study ever written about the way that the social gospel, which is to say the Hegelian post-Christian church, infiltrated mainline Christianity and basically supplanted theologically conservative Christianity as the dominant strain within this nominally Christian country. And how, if you take a look at contemporary evangelical Christianity, including, of course, much of what is called the Christian right today, its premises are all rooted in that same Hegelian pseudo-gospel that was rejected by theologically conservative Christians during World War I, many of whom paid a severe price for their opposition to this war, their opposition to a war that represented a repudiation of American independence. And some of them actually went to prison as a result of opposing Woodrow Wilson's agenda or even speaking out against it. I mean, we literally... If you take a look at the history of World War I, we literally see a country succumbing to totalitarianism, albeit on a very limited, at least in terms of chronology, a very limited basis. When you had Woodrow Wilson's successors come to power, they talked about a return to normalcy. What that meant was, we don't want to make that mistake again. We don't want to be ruled by war socialists who wanted to regiment everything we did down to the clothes that we would wear. If they had their objective, they'd have their druthers. The people running that foul system, within a couple of years, would have had everybody dressing alike and eating the same food and being part of a collectivist hive mind. But fortunately, the war ended before then. But the elements of that ended up, of course, being repackaged as the New Deal, and we're dealing with it now as great nation exceptionalist ideology. Very commonplace, unfortunately.
When we come back from this break, Will, I want to address the war in Iraq and the manner in which the churches are praying about it and providing leadership to the Christians of America concerning it. This is Freedom Frenzy. We've got Will Grigg with us today. Stay tuned.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. Will, we are so grateful to have you on today. For our audience, if you want to learn more about Will, you can go to willgrigg.com. Some of his publications are listed there. And also his blog site, which is Pro Libertate, and can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I want to address the war in Iraq briefly. Periodically, I hear prayed from the pulpit, dear God, please protect our soldiers in Iraq as they protect us. And I have to go hunting for a tree to bang my head against it, since in my understanding, Iraq was a secular society. America goes in, the military anyway, establishes Sharia law under a constitution they forced into play, and now our soldiers are enforcing Sharia law in Iraq at the point of a gun. What does that have to do with our liberty, A, and how can God be sanctioning this kind of military action?
God obviously can't be sanctioning this military action because it is an act of criminal aggression by any definition. But in terms of the impact that the war has had on Iraq, there was a large and largely protected Christian community in Iraq, some of which could trace itself back to the days of the disciples. You have in Iraq historic churches among the Chaldean Christians who speak Aramaic, and they are people whose roots in that region go back to the ministry of Mark the disciple and some other people of that vintage. And they have been chased from the country to the extent where you have less than half of the Christian population choosing to remain in Iraq after its purported liberation by Washington and the installation of a Sharia-compliant government as a result of this triumph of democracy that was celebrated by the Bushists in Congress, who held their inked fingers up at a salute in a dramatic self-regarding gesture in one of the State of the Union addresses. I think it was in 2004, 2005, that this was done by the Republican contingent in the State of the Union address. But when you talk about the way people are taught to pray about the military occupation of Iraq, where they're taught to pray that we should seek God's protecting on the troops as the troops protect us, that really is something of a self-indictment, because the troops in Iraq are in no way protecting us. And if
it's sicker than that, Will, because most of the people think that they're fighting for our freedom.
I know. And our freedom was never in any way, shape, or form imperiled by anybody who was in charge of the government in Iraq. It was a largely secular regime. There were people in Saddam's inner circle who were Christians by profession, if not necessarily by practice. Of course, you're not going to see that now that it's dominated by a Shiite, Iranian-aligned radical government that was once again installed at the point of American bayonets.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I find really disturbing about the war in Iraq is that as the various rationales have fallen away and revealing in the course of doing so, layer after layer of deceit beneath, we're left with the proposition, and it's being made very candidly by Donald Trump, who's emerging as something of a darling of the evangelical conservative right today, this thrice married
jellyfish
habitual lecher and land grabber, is becoming pretty much the toast of Republican conservatism, and he has received favorable notice from Pat Robertson's So Little Cable Network just a couple of weeks ago.
And in a bunch of the insider activists in the Republican Party.
Exactly.
And I think it all stems from his wonderful marketing. And he's stellar at that. But, you know, when you start looking behind the billboard, there's nobody there.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, these faith and family organizations like Family Research Council and their daughter organizations Focus on the Family, they so totally disgust me because they're never to be found when tyranny's at its greatest in America. Now we've got ACLU defending families in America against unconstitutional government. It's disgusting. We'll come back and discuss that after this break. This is Freedom Frenzy. Y'all stay with us.
The next round of